This is Kuza Conversations with Chris, and I'm excited to bring you another episode with President and CEO of Westwater Resources, Chris Jones. Westwater Resources is a premium quality producer and supplier of battery materials made right here in the United States. On Kuza Conversations with Chris, we discuss how Westwater Resources is supplying the energy of the future.
This is Chris Jones from Westwater, and you are in Kuza Conversations with Chris. And today we have Josh Holland, our Manager of Government and Environmental Affairs for our Alabama Graphite Project. Welcome, Josh.
Hi, Chris. Glad to be here.
So a little bit of background. Josh has been with us for several years, certainly the 7 years that I've been with Westwater, and he's been handling similar duties for us down in Texas, and this represents a bit of a change of role, certainly a change of geography for Josh, at the same time that it is a very similar role in view of the government affairs and environmental management that we will utilize in the great state of Alabama. So, Josh, if you can you tell me a little bit about your career and some of the roles you've taken?
Sure, I'd be happy to. In some ways, this is, you know, my life repeating itself, and that, you know, when challenges and new things come up, it's exciting, and I like to tackle those challenges. You know, when I first started with Westwater back in 2006, you know, my background was in electronics and communications technology, and I knew Dane, now our VP of operations at the time, and, you know, he told me about, you know, what was going on at Westwater with the uranium industry back in 2006 was a really busy time. And, you know, it sounded exciting. And I didn't know how my experience at that time could fit into a role in that business, but I wanted to go for it anyway. And they had an opening in the safety department. So I said, well, if you give me a computer and a file cabinet, I won't let you down. And That's where things kind of took off with my relationship with this company and really a different career path than I was on before. And yeah, that's really where it all started. And from there, you know, I started as a safety tech and did that for years and, you know, just continued to take on more and more responsibility and get promotions have really enjoyed working in the environmental and governmental affairs space.
Didn't you finish up your degree while working for us over these last few years?
Yeah, sure did. And I think that's part of the, you know, amazing story of working here and working with this team is the employee development that happens on several levels here. And I was able to, you know, be a benefactor of that. And that, you know, when I started here, I had an associate's degree, and Westwater helped me in my career development by paying for my bachelor's degree in environmental management.
I know it's been our pleasure to see you develop over these last 14 years, the last 7 or 8 that I've been on the job. So, we're grateful to have you. If you can give me just a little bit of feedback on what you think about the move Westwater's making towards graphite from some of the businesses we've had previous, and what challenges do you see ahead for us?
Yeah, well, I think it's really exciting. I'm excited to be involved, and I'm excited about the, you know, battery space and what our products have to offer to that industry. I, of course, welcome new challenges. I think it's really exciting for me, and I've really enjoyed the involvement I've had thus far. And I look forward to the new things, you know, learning a new community and getting to learn how things work in that community and building relationships, not just in the community in Alabama, but also in the battery space community. There's definitely a lot of connections there, and I'm really am looking forward to that, and I'm excited about the challenges that are coming up. You know, we've got it's a little different than what I've worked with in the past. It's still regulatory related and governmental affairs related, but you know, it's a lot different than the uranium industry in that, you know, we're going to be dealing with air permits and water permits. And my benefit is that I've worked a long time reading and interpreting regulations and working with regulators, and I'm good at that and I can do that. And, you know, it's learning a different part of the regulations, but for the most part, they read similarly. And a lot of that experience that I've had in the uranium industry will translate really well to that.
It's a lot about the relationships you develop as you go along. You've had a 14-year record of developing those relationships in Texas at the TCEQ, which regulates our mining environment down there, as well as others. A similar set of regulators in Alabama, for certain, with frankly a simplifier that we're not having to deal with radioactive materials. This is really a cleaner space. We're designing a plant from scratch that is designed to have a light touch on the environment. Where do you see the challenges in that particular arena as, you know, over these next, you know, really these next 24 months as you get into Alabama, get into the workspace there? Where do you see these challenges in constructing this plant from scratch, and how do you fit in?
Yeah, there's definitely going to be challenges. I have a lot to learn and have been learning a lot so far. And, you know, the air permitting and the water permitting is new to me. And as you said, in some ways it's cleaner. I think the regulations, however, in the air and water permitting are more well established versus radiation. I think a lot of folks are put off by radiation just because of the natural fear of it's difficult to understand. And I think with air and water, the understanding is more straightforward. And I do look forward to that. I look forward to building relationships with folks at ADEM, the Alabama Department of Environmental Management, and working with those folks to get our permitting going. But yeah, the challenges are really going to be getting all the right things done at the right time and keeping the permitting process moving along. I haven't worked much with ADEM, and I know that at times working with TCEQ, it can be challenging to get the regulators to move along with decisions. And I think that, you know, that's something that we'll work on with ADEM and work with them to get the decisions made. And I am hopeful, though, that in the air and water permitting space, that things move along well.
I think it's important probably for our listeners to remember that, you know, we're permitting an industrial facility. Basically, it's a pressure cooker with some chemicals mixed in to go ahead and purify graphite, and the machines that basically shape and size the material. We're not permitting a mine at this point and won't be for several years. And I don't know, correct me where I go off the rails here, Josh, but an industrial facility like that we plan looks to me to be easier to permit than something that disturbs, you know, the ground or an aquifer or something like that. It's basically a small factory. Does that look easier to you in this, you know, in these 5 minutes?
Oh, it certainly does. And I think it's easier for the applicant and easier for the regulator. I believe it's a more straightforward process. You know, the review time shouldn't take as long. You know, the technical process that's involved isn't as in depth, and I believe it'll move along smoothly. I believe, you know, here in Texas, folks that I've talked to a lot of times with, especially for these similar type facilities, these type of applications move through on a pretty similar timeline and rather rapidly.
Kind of a similar environmental footprint to those they've already had some experience with. You know, they've cited large vehicle manufacturing plants in Alabama. I think Mercedes has now made something like a $6.5 billion investment in manufacturing SUVs there, other car companies. And remembering that Alabama has a long history of steel making and heavy industry in the Birmingham area, they appear to my eyes to be experienced in assessing and moving these permits along so that we can get to work. Is that your view?
Oh yeah, I definitely see that there's a good amount of industry and very similar type processing plants and operations located throughout Alabama. This is definitely in their purview of permitting that they're familiar with, and I believe they've managed to get it into a streamlined process that works well for the regulators and the applicants.
So a little bit of a different tact. Why do you see an American-sourced graphite product as a game changer for the electric vehicle and battery market in general?
Yeah, an American-sourced graphite, I mean, the benefits, of course, having a domestic supply of really any type of material that we rely on in the nation is important. And then there's the other aspects of, you know, where you're getting your items from. And there's, you know, a lot of people have environmental concerns and humanitarian concerns when it comes to where their products come from. And I think that, you know, an American company operating in America, that, you know, we put a strong emphasis on operating with efficacy and our environmental operations and with our employees, with our human life and health. And Westwater puts a high value on that. And we have for years all throughout our operations. And but it's not just that makes it important. You know, we're also planning on making a product that's going to provide a high quality product to our customers and also bring good customer service to our customers. And I think that's something that when you operate in the USA, those are not just things that are expected, but that's how you do business here.
Normal course of business.
Yes, that's right.
And in fact, you went around and really spoke to our core values as Westwater. Safety of ourselves, of those with whom we work, our environment, the communities where we work. You know, that's all wrapped up in really what you just went through. We believe that we can produce graphite with a lighter environmental footprint than those overseas, and something that we can be proud of as we're carrying around our cell phones and our laptops and you know, one day driving electric cars with graphite. We know its origins. We know that the regulatory environment in the United States and this company's practices are robust and can guarantee the safety of that product, well before it gets into these different devices as we go forward. So I think you're right. It's part and parcel of what we do. And security of supply comes in a couple other parts as well. A battery manufacturer in the United States relying upon several different geographies and political systems for its graphite improves their business model as well. Because if one or another government or regime falls or geography intervenes or, you know, even weather on the oceans, you know, they still have graphite coming in. And that's part, I think what you were, you know, also saying is, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, you have a domestic source of graphite for domestic batteries. So it's a rail issue. And it's not an ocean going ship issue or a language barrier issue or a political system issue. So I think I agree there.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think for domestic producers, we definitely have a lot to offer, but I think I believe the quality of products we'll be making, it'll be not just for domestic battery makers, but battery makers abroad, I think would be interested in having graphite battery products produced out of the USA.
Mm-hmm. So a little different tact here. We've said often enough, you know, graphite goes into batteries, goes into batteries of all types. But how would you describe our products to your children?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have three kids now, they do ask a lot of times, what do you do? And, a lot of times short answer is minor, but it is fun talking about graphite. My kids, even though they're really young, 5, 3, and 1, with the exception of the 1-year-old, the 5 and 3-year-old understand batteries. Everything they have, half the things they have are electronic devices. I mean, they have their own iPads, for goodness sake. They have a power wheel that they drive around the yard. So they really understand batteries. And if daddy can tell them that I could make their power wheel go further, charge better, and last longer, they understand that. And that really excites them.
Okay. Josh, as you know, I am a father, but my two sons are in their 30s. It's a little different explanation process, certainly.
Yeah.
But with two grandkids coming up, I'm gonna follow your lead and remind them that iPad didn't start up magically. We're a little That's behind right. in age. So as we develop this business, we have you presently in South Texas. We have you targeted. You and your families, you and Dane and your families, I should say, targeted for relocation during the first part of 2021. And the importance of having the two of you on the ground doing daily work with communities can't be underestimated. Where do you see in those first 6 months that you'll be able to fill in some gaps that we've not yet addressed with our business?
Yeah, I really think, and we spoke about this earlier, but building those relationships. This call we're doing now is over Zoom, and Zoom, or over a virtual call, and that those work so good. But I think a lot of times when you're able to meet with someone person to person, it just seems to have more of an impact. And I think being there on the ground, whether it's working on finding the site, working with realtors, folks in the local governments, citizens in the area, just having someone that they can see face to face. And the same with the regulators, visiting with them. And of course, I don't know what their COVID virus restrictions are right now, but as restrictions from the virus start to let up, there's going to be more and more opportunity to be meeting face to face with people. And I put a lot of value on meeting face to face. And I think that being there with someone and being able to explain it and be there with them, I think really helps fill in that space and helps bridge that gap between a company that's just coming in to do something versus a company that's there to build a relationship and keep their word on what they say they're going to do. And I think there's a lot of value in that. And that's, at least in the first few months, that's going to be some of the most important part of us being there.
Promises well kept. That's that is one of our three core values.
Yes, sir.
And I'm aligned. I believe that having people on the ground, people like you in particular, as a matter of fact, will go a long ways towards generating and sealing those relationships we need with people that run government, people that run associations, and people with whom we'll be doing business, over these next 3 decades presently scheduled for the project. Josh, in closing, based on what we've talked about today and what we plan for this particular organization as we develop in Alabama, the first 3 things you think you have to do, once you get on the ground in, you know, call it January, you know, where do you think you need to be in those, in those first few days making those relationships?
Yeah, definitely. First three things when we get on the ground there are definitely working with the local officials. That's one. Another is working with realty groups on, you know, siting and working out a deal on a location, and being in the community, being there to answer any questions. I imagine that wherever we decide to set up, there's going to be folks that would like to talk to somebody or have interest, whether it's interest in, you know, the environmental impacts, or if it's interest in getting a job, you know, and having myself and Dane there is going to be really meaningful to primarily, I believe, in the beginning, those three things, and being there to, you know, offer ourselves and make that bridge between the location where we'll be doing business and our company and our core values.
So bridge and relationship building, I think that's a great way to close out today. I do want to remind listeners that you can get a lot more information on our plans in real time as you visit our website, westwaterresources.net, and take a look at those press releases as they come out. If you want to be part of our mail list, it's info@westwaterresources.net. Send us an email and we'll get you on. And with that, I'd like to thank you, Josh, for your time here this afternoon. And we'll be speaking. We'll be speaking about this project. We'll be speaking with each other, and we'll be speaking with folks as we go along through this quarter and into next. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, definitely. Happy to do it.
Thank you again for joining another episode of Coosa Conversations with Chris. If you are interested in investing in this wonderful company and hearing more about what Westwater Resources is doing in the green energy market, subscribe to our newsletter using the link in the show notes. If you click on the details button in Apple Podcasts, the see more button on Spotify, or simply scroll down on this particular episode on Google Podcasts, you will find the link to get subscribed to our jam-packed monthly newsletter. We will cover the latest news on Westwater, as well as keep you up to date on the details of their cornerstone project, the Coosa Mining Project for Graphite. Have a great day, and we will talk to you again soon on Coosa Conversations with Chris.